Okay, we're picking up five lines from the bottom of Nunbeis Amud Beis. This shir should be L'Ilui Nishmas Azriel ben Rav Mordechai Yitzchak, Mirtz Hashem, his neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, so let's start. We said, Ein Mevarchin. So again, the Mishnah told us that we don't make a bracha on anything of spices of goyim, and we also don't make a bracha on things of mason that were made for the mason. Okay, so now we're going to analyze these in yanim in the following gemara. The gemara says bishlam aner mishum de lo shavas. Now I get it why we don't make a bracha on a flame of a goy, because it didn't rest from an isra malacha on Shabbos, meaning the goy used the fire throughout Shabbos. So it's a flame that was not resting, and therefore you're not going to, for Dvar Vera, you don't use that to make a bracha on Bor Marayish on Motzei Shabbos now. However, Besamim, my time alone, what's the reason you don't make a bracha over smells of a goy on Motzei Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Amar Demarav, Hachab Misibad Lekacham Eskinah. No, so we're not dealing with, you're right, there's no issue of Shabbos per se, but there's an issue of Stam being Nene from the smell, because they use these smells at the banquets when they used to have Avodah Zarah. Nish Stam Misibad because when a banquet, the goyim would have banquets, they would have avodah zarah there, and these besamim were used to make the avodah zarah smell good, and then it's an iser deraisa to have hana from any avodah zarah. So therefore, you're not allowed to have hana from this smell, from these fragrances. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Hamad de Kanesefa, the Hemshecha, the Mishnah said this halacha. Ein mevarchin lo ala ner velo besamen shel avodazara. That a person doesn't make a bracha on the flame or the smells, the spices of ovde avodazara, miklal derisha la avodazara deskin. The Hemshecha, the Mishnah told this halacha. So it sounds like from the Mishnah's not repeating itself, telling you the same halacha twice, that when it came to the bracha of besamim over here, it seemed to say that there's a different reason in the Reisha, in the first part of the Mishnah, because the second part of the Mishnah already told us that the reason, if it's actual Avodah Zarah, not to have Hana from it, and then you shouldn't make the Bracha. So the Mishnah wouldn't repeat itself twice, so why is the, how do you explain the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, you're right, but you have to explain the Mishnah with the following reason. You say, what's the reason? Meaning the Mishnah in the Reisha, our Mishnah says, the beginning part of the Mishnah says, what's the reason that we don't make a bracha on the flame of the spices of a goy? Because a stam party of a goy usually has a avodah zarah there, and the stam, since the stam party has a avodah zarah, you have to assume that those spices were used for Isser, and you're not allowed to have hana from the smells and fragrances of a goy. Okay, now the Gemara says, a brisa tana rabbanan or shishavas b'varchan alav. When it comes to, meaning, so now we have no source though that an or that a flame that didn't have, was not shavas, is usher to use on Shabbos, because now we explained that the whole first part of the Mishnah was only referring to a flame that was used me'isser. So here the Gemara now is quoting a brisa that says explicitly, tana rabbanan or shishavas b'varchan alav. When it comes to a flame that was rested on Shabbos, then you make a bracha. However, if it didn't rest on Shabbos, person used it on Shabbos, whether it was a goy or Yisrael, then we're going to see some mutter cases. But for a goy, let's say, you do not make a bracha on a mutter Shabbos. The Gemara says, my Shabbos and my lo Shabbos. What's this halacha of Shabbos and lo Shabbos? Now turning on to the next amud. Inema lo Shabbos machmas malacha, fi malacha de etera. You want to assume that lo Shabbos means if the fire was used, no matter what, on Shabbos. Even for a heter. What be a heter? So Rashi explains. A heter is like a cholet. Let's say you have a sick person or someone who's pregnant and is about to give birth. You need a light for them because it's dangerous otherwise. So when it's pikuach nefesh, you are allowed to light the fire. So you're going to tell me even there, I'm not allowed to make the bracha on Motzei Shabbos because that's considered a ner that was used be'isser. V'hatanya, ur shalchai v'shalchol mevarchala. We say explicitly, a flame of a woman or a person who is sick, a cholet sheish basakana, who you have to light for our Shabbos for, mevarchala, we do make a bracha on it. So you can't tell me that the Mishnah is telling you not to make a bracha, that the Braisa would be telling you not to make a bracha on an or shalo shavas in that situation. So the Gemara gives a teretz, right? Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, my shavas, what does it mean when it says that the flame had rested on Shabbos? So it says the Gemara now, shavas machmas meleches avira, that it was a flame that arrested from an Isra on Shabbos. And if a Jew lights it for a heter purpose, that's not called Or She'enu Shabbos. That's perfectly fine. That's called Or She'Shabbos. However, if a goy lights it, even though, it's interesting to point out though, if a goy lights it for himself, there's no Isser. However, since for a Jew, it's Usser to light a flame on Shabbos, so too it's called or that was done by Isser, even though for a goy, me'ikar erdin, if he lights it for himself, it's not called an Isser. Okay, but for this purpose, we are considering that problematic, and one would not be allowed to light from that. So now Gemara continues to analyze these halachas. The Gemara says, Tanana mehachi, ashishis haizat alekas lechas koleam kulo. So hashishis is some sort of glass material, and Rashi says that it is lintera, which is a lantern. So, okay, so it's a type of glass lantern that was lit before Shabbos, and it was burning throughout Shabbos. So it says Gemara, Motzei Shabbos, Mevarchin alav. And then you would be allowed on Motzei Shabbos to make a bracha over it, because this is not an Isser, even though it was lit the entire Shabbos. Since you lit it before Shabbos, there's no Isser involved, and you would be allowed to make a Havdalah on that candle. Okay, the Gemara continues with another brisa, similar topic. Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Nachri Shehelik Mishrael, a goy who after Shabbos lit from a Jew, the Yisrael Shehelik Minachri, and what if a Jew took that flame, right? He took a match and he put it onto his Havdalah candle. So Mivarchanav, that would be mutter for you to use it. However, Nachri Minachri, let's say a goy took there was one candle, and then another goy took a different candle. In Varchanav, you would not be allowed to make a bracha on the second goy's candle. So the Gemara now asks, though, Maishna Nachri Minachri Delo, what's the difference if a goy from a goy is, if a goy takes, right, goy A takes it, and then goy B then lights the second one, what's the reason? Because Mishum Delo Shabbos, the first candle was not Shabbos on Shabbos, right, it didn't rest on Shabbos, so to the second candle, we assume, is problematic. So then the Gemara asks, then, why not? Ihachi Yisrael Minachri Nami, then also a Jew who takes it from a non-Jewish candle. Again, the non-Jewish person was assumed to have used it all of Shabbos. So then if a Jew then uses that light and uses it for his Avdala candle, that should still be problematic. Just like a Nachri L'Nachri, Halo Shabbos. At the end of the day, the first candle didn't rest on Shabbos. So the Gemara gives a possible teretz. What's the possible teretz? V'chi teima hachisura azalei. If you want to assume that maybe when you say that the Jew, when he takes the original flame and now he moves it away, that is going to remove the Isser from the goy. V'achrinahu, and the flame is considered a different flame, and therefore you've removed Isser. V'yada Yisrael kamis yalda, and therefore the Jew is considered the new person who created the flame. So then the Gemara asks, though, you can't assume that way. Elah hadisana, because the Braisa says hamotzi shel heves l'rishus harabim, someone who carries a flame on Shabbos to rishus harabim chayav. You're going to be chayav achatas if you did so by accident. You'll be chayav misa if you did so on purpose. A person who carries Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah is chayav misa on Shabbos. We're going to be learning that Mirtzah Shem in 2 weeks. We're going to have a whole, the first 9 blot of Masechta Shabbos that are going to be discussing these in Yanim. So either way, when you have this din, so the Gemara asks, my chayav, my sha'akar lo aniach, my shinech lo aakar. You need an akira and hanacha. You need something to be put down and picked up in order, akira, so picked up and then put down in order to be chayav on Shabbos. You need an akira and hanacha. However, if we're assuming that when a person, a flame is considered new every time, so then the moment I took it from place A to place B, I've considered that there's a new flame. I don't have an akira and hanacha of the same flame because the new flame has created itself. So therefore, the Gemara assumes that that can't be the case, that we assume that a person makes a new flame is creating a new chefta completely. It's not creating a new flame. Rather, it's a continuation of the old one. So therefore, the Gemara answers, That's a disproving that we said that when the, so that again, that would be disproving the fact that if a Jew lit from the non-Jew, that would create a new flame. So the Gemara says now, Alal olam de isura nami aise. So we're assuming that rather, you have to assume that the original flame is around, you're right, it is still considered there. However, v'chi kamivarecha tosefta deiter kamivarech. You have to assume that when the Jew takes the new candle, he's adding something. So therefore, when the Jew asks, when the Jew lights the new candle, he has created a new fire somewhat, even though it's still connected to the first goy's fire. However, it's new enough that you're allowed to make a bracha. So the Gemara asks, though, then if that's the case, ihachi nachri minachri nami, if that's true, then a goy lighting from another goy should also be mutter, because again, when the second goy now lit it, he's taken some of the Isser flame, but he has now, it's heter now, we're talking about Motzei Shabbos, so if the second goy is lighting the second flame, it should be totally mutter. So the Gemara says, you're right, in a chanami, that's actually a good point. However, the reason over there, really, Me'ikar Din, that second case should have been mutter. However, we assume, gzera mishum nacharishon ve'amud rushon, that really, that's all, there's a gzera over there, the Chazal made a gzera, that we're afraid that the first fire that goy lights after Shabbos, a Jew is going to think is mutter, because he's going to say, oh, I just saw that a goy lit from another goy, and I saw Reuven make a bracha latz Moshe Shabbos, so he's not going to realize that Reuven waited till the second goy took the candle and then made the bracha. This guy's going to come along and right after Shabbos immediately make a bracha on the non-Jewish the non-Jewish Paul's fire. He's going to light. The second after Shabbos ends, he's going to make a bracha, and that's usher because that's considered a flame that was lo shava. So that's why we have a gzera. Even if a Paul gives his friend Sam, and Sam is lit the second fire after Shabbos, that would still be usher because of a gzera. Really, meikar din that should have been mutter, but that also because of a gzera, assuming that's usher. Okay, continue tomorrow now. Tana rabbanan ha'im halech chutz lekrach. If a person is walking outside the city on Motzei Shabbos, and he vera ur, and he sees a fire, and he sees a flame, im rav nachram, if you assume there's a majority of the city's population is goyim, ein mevarach, then you can't make a bracha, im rav Yisrael mevarach. If you see that it's rav Yisrael, then you would be allowed to, because holchein achar rov, we always go after rov, achar abram lahatos. So too over here, with this halacha, we always go after the rov, you go to the majority. If the majority are Yisrael, you can assume that it's a heter. However, if the majority is non-Jews, you assume that it was done be'isra, it was done on Shabbos, and you can't make a bracha on that flame. Continues Gemara now, haguf akasha, but the diukim of this Mishnah seems problematic. What's the diukim? Amart im rov nachri eino mevarech. So if it's a rove of non-Jews, then you don't make the bracha, which would imply the following. If there was half and half, then you would make a bracha on the fire. However, the hemshech of the Gemara says, the hemshech of that Braisa said, Hadar tani im rov Yisrael mevarech. If you have a majority of Jews, then you make a bracha on the fire, which implies hamechta mechta in mevarech, that half and half, you wouldn't make a bracha. So we're stuck over here. How do you view a city that's exactly half and half? Do you make a bracha on the fire or not? What is the correct deal? So the Gemara answers now, Bedinu da. You really should have made a bracha on half and half. That is the halacha. And so why did the last part of the Mishnah confuse us and say this lashon of rov Yisrael, which implied that only if you have a rov you make the bracha? Because of stylistically, we wanted to keep the brisa the same. But I did the Tana Reisha rov Nachayim, Tana Seva rov Yisrael. We wanted to keep it stylistically the same. Again, they used to memorize all these brises. So we wanted to keep it the same, even though this lashon is lav dafka. It didn't mean dafka a rov. It meant even if it's half and half, you would make a bracha in a city where it was half and half. You'd make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos on the flame. So this Rishona point out, though, I was bothered by this also. So, by the end of the day, you don't have a rov. So, what's the heter to say that? So, the Rishonim explain, the Ritva and the Meiri, they explain, no, really, you do have a rov. What's your rov? Because not every single non-Jew is going to be lighting a fire by Isra on Shabbos. So, you have a mute of goyim, or lighting on Motzei Shabbos, so you apply them with the half of Yisrael, and then you have a rov. Okay? So, those Rishonim were assuming that there's no goyim, no Jews who are violating Baruch Hashem. There's no Jews who are violating Shabbos. Okay, fine. Either way, continues the Gemara now in the Braisa. Taner Rabbanan. Hayamahalech chutz lekrach. If a person on Motzei Shabbos is walking outside a city, v'ra tinok v'avuka biyado, he sees a child who is holding a torch in his hand. Bodik achar, he asks, he figures out if he is a Jew or a goy. Im Yisrael hu mevarech. Im nachri yeinu mevarech. If it's Yisrael, if it's a Jew who lit it, then it's mutter. And if it's a nachri, then you wouldn't make a bracha. So the Gemara asks, though, my area tinnik, why do you have to specify that it's a child? Even if a person is an adult, you should also be able to make a bracha if it's a Jew. We assume it wasn't done b'Isser. So it says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, halcha b'samach l'shkiyas hachamaskinah. No, here we're dealing with right, a person saw he saw this light right after Shkia, before Shabbos ended, meaning before Tzeis HaKochavim, in the in-between time, between Bein HaShemashos, between Shkia and Tzeis. So the Gemara says, gadol milcha milsa devadei nachru. If it's a gadol, then for sure it's a person who's non-Jew, because he was using it b'Isra on Shabbos. However, tinok imra Yisraelu, if you assume that it's a child, then maybe he's a Jew, and if you find that really is a Jew, ikriv anakid, then it also, he took it, a torch at the time, and then it would be mutter if the child is a Jew. However, if it's a goy, it's us. I was just wondering why, if a goy ben ashmashos should also be mutter, why would it be any different between a Yisrael and a goy? Okay, left that sarachian. But either way, that's Gemara's halacha from over here. Okay, another brisa. Tanur Rabbanan. Hayamahalech chutz lekrach. If a person was walking on Motzei Shabbos outside of a city, v'ra ur, if he saw fire, im ave kifiyav kifshan, if it was as thick as the opening of a furnace, mevarach alav, then he would make a brach over it, v'im lav, inu mevarach alav. If it's not that thick, then you would not make a brach. Why not? Because if it's not used for that, the fire wasn't that thick, then Rashi points out it was just used probably for cooking. The fire needs to be used to light, to use to, as illuminate, to have hana from the fire. Zafka for a purpose of lighting someone or illuminating the room. If it's not used for illumination, it's just used for cooking or another purpose, you would not be allowed to make a bracha on that fire. So the Gemara asks, Akasha, the Tana Chada, Ur Shal Kivshan, we have one brisa that says that the fire of a furnace, Mevarachan Alav, you make the bracha over it, but Tana Idach, we have another brisa that says, In Mevarachan Alav, we don't make the bracha over it. So which is it? So the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha. Habetchila, the brisa which says that you don't make a bracha when you light the furnace is dealing when you light the beginning. Because Rashi points out that when you light the beginning of a furnace, you're doing it only to Only for cooking. However, levasof, at the end, when you finish cooking, then you're using it, why are you leaving the fire there? The fire there obviously is used to light the room, and therefore you're allowed to make a brach on it, because again, the rule is going to be, we're going to see a few of the advice, this important rule, when it's used for illumination, you make the bracha. When it's not used for illumination, you don't make the bracha. So it says, Gemara Vayter, Tana Chada, another advice that says, Ur shel Tana v'shel Kiraim, a fire used for an oven or a kira. These are going to be very important also in the third parak of Shabbos. And here, parak kira. There's three types of things on Shabbos. You have an oven, you have a tanner, you have a kutach, and you have a kira. Three different methods of used for cooking. So here, we are talking about two of them. We're talking about a tanner and an kira. Kira used to have two tzfasim, two open stopped pots on the top to be able to cook with. And the Gemara says that on that type of fire, you do make a bracha, bracha levtana idach erbracha. The other one says that you don't make a bracha of it. Which situation do you make a bracha, which don't? So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, there's no kasha over here either, because habetchila, the brisa that says that you don't make a bracha, that's talking about beginning again, because you're using it for the cooking process. So the basof, the brisa which says that you do make a bracha, is talking about at the end, which is used not for the cooking process, rather to have illumination, and then you're making a bracha on the illumination. Continues the next brisa. Tana chadav, another steering brisa. Ur shel beis haknesset shel midras. They used to, again, no electricity, so they were lighting fires, candles in the beis midrash and in the shuls. Mivarech alav, then you would make a bracha on them. But tana idach in varech alav. Another brisa says you don't make a bracha on the lights of a shul or a beis midrash on Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara answers this also. Now there's a fundamental machlokes, Rashi and the Rach, the Tosfos quote, of which is which. Meaning, Rashi says that if there's an Adam Chashuv, then you only made it for the kavod of the Adam Chashuv, then you wouldn't make the bracha. It's not for illumination. However, if there's no Adam Chashuv, then it's for illumination, then you would make the bracha. The Rach says the exact opposite. If it's an Adam Chashuv, then you want to make sure there's a lot of light for him. And then it's not for kavod. However, Stam and the Beis Knesses is for the covered basic nesses, and that is not for illumination. Either way, that's what the Gemara answers over here. If it's for illumination, you make a bracha, not for illumination. For covered, you won't make the bracha. The Gemara says, v'ibais ema, another answer, havadik adam chashev. The both prices are discussing where adam chashev, someone chashev was coming to visit, v'lo kasha adik chazana, deleka chazana. The prices are discussing when there's a chazana here, is not like the chazan who's davening for them, but more like the shamish, the guy who takes care of everything in the shul. So if there's someone eating in the shul, meaning the shamish is eating the shul, then you're using it for the light for him. Then you would make a bracha. Like a chazana, if there is no shamish in the shul, you need to make the light for him to eat or do anything else, whatever activities he needs to take care of, if there is no one like that in the shul, then you wouldn't make a bracha because it's only for the kavod of this adam chashev, and you would not be making a bracha, you would not be using the light for illumination. Okay, the Gemara answers a third answer. Third answer. No, both cases are even discussing where there was a shamish of the shul, velokasha. If there is the moon, which was obviously shining enough that you would have enough light from the moon, or there wasn't, if there was enough light from the moon, then the whole purpose is for the kavod, then you would not make a bracha. If there wasn't enough, then there was a purpose for it, for the chazan to be able to eat, then you would make a bracha. Continues Gemara now. Tana Rabban on Yoshim Beveis HaMidrash. If people are sitting in the shul, Vayaviu, and they were learning Vayaviu or Lifneim, and they brought a light before them. Beshamai says everyone should make the bracha to themselves. Beisila omrim echad mivarech lekulam. Beisila says everyone should make the bracha together. So what's the reasoning? What's the reason? Beisila, the Gemara says, Mishum shenemar ki berovayim adras melech, the famous principle that when you have a lot of people, it's more glorified for Kadosh Baruch Hu to have a lot of people do things together. That's always why. There's a bigger minyan, having a bigger shul, more people, always better to have more people. So the Gemara says now, Bishlam, Beisila, come far shetam, but the Beisila explains the reasoning in the Breisa, Ela Beit Shammai Mai Taima. What's the reasoning for Beit Shammai's halacha? So says the Gemara, Kasari Beit, so meaning they don't give a reason why everyone should make the bracha by themselves. So the Gemara answers now, Kasari Beit Bismi. Just Beit Shammai hold that it's going to be Bitul Torah, because you're going to have to shh everyone, and they have, by the time everyone listen, you know, it takes a lot of time. If you just go around with the flame for everyone to just make the bracha on their own when they're learning, then it wasn't going to lead to any Bitul Torah, and that's why it's better to do it according to that, according to Beit Shammai. Tanya Mehachi, the Breisa also said that this was Machlokas, Marpe Beit Shammai. We see that how important it was not to have Bittul Torah. They wouldn't say literally health, like bless you, right? Marpe is lashon. Rashi says is when a person sneezes, you don't say bless you. What's the whole verse of sneezing? So the famous idea comes from Pirkei Rabbi that when Yaakov Avinu was the times of Yaakov Avinu, meaning from till the times of Yaakov Avinu, people used to just sneeze and die. No one ever got sick. Yaakov Avinu begged Hashem that he should change that, because he wanted to tell his children and give them brachos and give them mussar before he dies. So he begged Hashem to say that. He was the first person to get sick. That's why Vinicha Choleh, that the pasuk specifically specifies that Yaakov Avinu was sick. So ever since then that was the first person to get sick. Everyone after that would also get sick. But it never changed that when a person would sneeze, they always think you were going to die. So they would always say Lashon, that's why every Lashon, every single language that you have, it's something like that. In English, it's bless you, right? Yiddish, it's like gesundheit. In Hebrew, modern Hebrew, tlabriut. We always say bless you because of this inyan that someone would always die. So in the shul, where it's such a minhag to do this. However, if you're learning Torah, you don't do that. Nei, bittel ben abejo. So since it's bittel Torah, if you're learning with your chavrusa and he sneezes, you don't battle and you don't do that. I'm pretty sure if Shlomo Zalman says that halacha changed nowadays because we don't learn every second of the day. It's like yuhara. It'd be arrogance to assume that you're learning every second not to say bless you to your friend in the middle of learning. I'm pretty sure that's Rav Zalman, not 100%. You'd have to double check that. Either way, continues the Gemara now in the next halacha of the Mishnah. You don't make a bracha for the ner or the besamim or the fragrances of a dead person. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason for this halacha now? Ner the kavod of David. The whole reason that you have the flame is for the kavod of the nifter. So it's next to him, not for you to have hanah from. So since it's not used for illumination, you would not make a bracha. Besam levarecho David. And also, the mace used to smell very bad. They never had refrigeration to leave the mace in the freezer or wherever it may have been. So therefore, since they wanted to make sure there's no food, no bad smell, they would put good smells over there. And since it's not used for fragrance, you don't want it, you're not using it for smelling, you would not make a bracha on that fragrance. What if you dafka take some of that smell and put it in your hand and smell it? Would that change the nature of the smell? Okay, that's this topic. Continues the Gemara now. Amar Avidam Rav, Kol Shem Motzin Lefanav Yom V'Laila. So the Gemara continues the halacha. If a person who they would bring a light for him by day and by night as kavod, then in Mevarchin Alav, then you would not make a bracha even by nighttime on Motzi Shabbos if this happened on Motzi Shabbos because he's chashuv and they're doing it for the kavod hames. However, Kol Shein Motzin Lefanav V'Laila, if this is such a person, he was not a big chashuv person, he was a regular guy in the streets, didn't have so much money. So if it was by day, no one would be lighting candles for him because they don't want to waste their money. Then Mevarchin Alav. Then if they did it at night, the only reason it's there is that people don't trip, then it's obviously used for illumination for the people who are by the levaya. So then you would be able to make a bracha on such a ner. When it comes to fragrances used and smells for the bathroom, and if you're using oil for getting rid of the smell on one's hands during the meal, that's what they used to do, is to put hands so that their hands don't smell bad. In Varchalav, since you're not using it for the smell, you're using it just to get rid of bad smells, then you would not make a bracha on these type of things. Okay, the Rashi just points out that earlier we seem to imply differently. You can look at the Rashi, Jir Maschil, in if to answer that question. Is this to say every time that something that designated for enjoyment of a person to smell, then you don't make a bracha of that? We have a kashlo, a nichlas lachanuso shel basam. If a person walks into someone who sells fragrances, so if he smells the smell and he's only there one time, even if he's there the entire day and he smells it constantly, you'd only make one bracha. However, if a person walks in and out to this store multiple times during the day, he'd make a bracha multiple times. So the Gemara asks, now the person who's walking into the store is not used for the person to smell. He wants to sell them. So yet, you make a bracha over them. So the Gemara says, you're right, but at the end of the day, the spices are there for you to smell because he wants you to buy them, but he wants you to smell them. So therefore, that people smell them and you smell such a good smell, and then I'll buy it. That's what every shop does, that you try things. So he also puts his smells out, his spices outside so you can smell them. So when you walk by, you would make a bracha because you're being nana and he wanted you to be nana in order that you should buy them. And therefore, there is a hana, and that's why it makes sense to make a bracha on those besamim. Okay, another brisa. Tana Rabbanan, Hamahalach chut lekrach. If a person was walking outside of a city, v'areach reach, and he smelled a smell, imrov of the kochavim. If there was a majority of that city was over the kochavim, so we're afraid that these smells were used for avodah zara. In mevarach, you don't make the bracha of and assumim. We're not talking about here from Motzei Shabbos. We're talking about during the week also. Imrov Yisrael mevarach. However, if Rov Yisrael in that city, then you would make a bracha. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Afilu Rov Yisrael namim mevarach. Rabbi Yossi says even if that city was a majority of Yisrael, you don't make a bracha. Why not? There are some Jews who burn the smells of a ketores, the incense, into for kshafim, for magic and sorcery and bad things. Okay, so that's avodah zarah. So the Gemara says though, atukula kshafim akhtaran. Maybe there are some crazy Jews out there who do this. They burn into it, but you're going to say a majority of the Jews are violating this halacha and doing this for magic and sorcery. So the Gemara says you're right. So the Gemara answers though, havin meuta lekshafim meuta nami legmar esakelin. There is a minority of Jews who burn it for the sorcery, and also a minority of Jews who are doing it to use to make their clothing smell good. Again, we're talking about pre-laundry. They don't have a good method for making laundry. How do they make their clothes smell better? They always put besamim on them. So therefore, there's enough people, if you take those two minorities, so let's say 30% of the people were doing this laundry, this way of perfuming their clothing by putting in the spices in their clothing, which is not used to make it smell good, just make it not smell bad. And also, the minority of people who were sorcery was another 25%, so you have 50, the 30%, you have another 60%. You have have a majority now. So istaka kruba delav the recha avid. So we see that there's a majority of people then, even in a Jewish town, who are not using it for the purpose of smelling the fragrance, rather just to avoid another smell. Kruba delav the recha avid lo mevarach. And since therefore we have a rove not using it for the good smell, therefore we don't make a bracha on it. So it says in Gemara, Amar b'chia bar Avram bar Yochanan hamahalach bar v'shabasos tveram motzei Shabbos b'tzipori. Someone who walks on Friday night and in Tveria and Moshe Shabbos and Tzipori, they reach reach and he smells the their smell on their of their clothing. Ain't mevarach, he don't make a bracha, or just smells not on their clothing, just smells. Why? Because the reason that they were putting in the spices were not because it smelled good on the streets and they were doing it to make it smell good on the streets. Rather, they were doing it to make their clothing not smell bad, which again was the klal we said before, not used for smelling, and you don't make a bracha on that. Okay, the Gemara continues another. Raisa Tanur Ban Imalach Bashuk Shalvados Kachavim. If a person walks in the marketplace of a goy, nisratzech lariach, and he wanted to smell, areza chote, you're violating a din, because you're smelling the good smells of what potentially probably was of avodah zarah. This is a big shaila of recha, of smelling chametz on Pesach. That's a very big din. Recha milsa, when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to avodah zarah, we do some recha is milsa. Okay, continuing to the next. Now the Gemara says, "Vein varchan al ner ad she'oso." We only said a bracha on Bormer Ha'esh when you get the benefit from the light of the candles. Says Gemara, Amri with the Marav, Lo yasu yasu mamash. When it's lashon of deriving benefit from it, it doesn't mean that you literally have to derive the benefit. If the flame was strong enough that if you were standing near it, you would have had hana from the illumination, even though you personally are standing far away from it and not having so much hana from the light, then they would be good enough. Ravashi said the same thing, that the Mishnah was teaching us that one who is standing a place far away from the light, he doesn't actually have to benefit. You would still be allowed to make the bracha. The Gemara asks a kasha. Now, Macy, very, that's a kasha. Haisa l'ner t'muna b'cheko b'fanas. If a person had a flame hidden in his lap or in some sort of a lantern that he wasn't being nene from it, because it was under his lap or it was hidden under him. Oh, if he saw a flame and it didn't have any use from its light. Or if he saw its light but he didn't see the flame, so he saw the meaning light coming out. We're going to see what case that is. You don't make a bracha for mara. You only make the bracha if you both see the flame and use its illumination. So the Gemara is going to continue with why this is a proof against Ravashi and Amar Vida Marav. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Mishtamish L'Ora V'Lora Shal Heves. I understand the case of the Braisa that says that you're using its illumination, but you don't see the flame. What's that case? Mishachal L'Dekai Melan Mekares Aves. If a person is standing on the corner of a building, so right, I'm on this one corner and the other side of the corner, so then the flame is on the other side. I don't see it through the building. However, I could see the light coming out of the corner. So therefore, that's the first case. El Ra Shal Heves V'Lishtamish L'Ora Hechim Mishkachal. Where do we find a case of someone who sees the flame but doesn't actually ne'ne from the illumination? Is it not when the flame is far away? And we see that the Brisa is assuming that you would not be yotze in that situation. So therefore, how do we explain the Brisa according to the Shita? So the Gemara answers now, Lo kigon de amaya ve'azla. The Brisa was talking about a case where the flame is getting dimmer and dimmer, and only in that situation would we assume you not make a bracha. But if in a situation where you're far enough and it's really very strong, you would be allowed to make a bracha. You have no raya from the Brisa. So the Gemara says another brisa. Tanur Rabbanan Gechalim Lochshos. If we see that coals are glowing on Motzi Shabbos, then you can be varchan alav. You can make a bracha on these coals. Omemos. However, if they are dimming coals in varchalem, you do not make a bracha over them. So the Gemara asks now, Hechi Dami Lochshos. What's considered glowing coals? You should make a bracha. Amar Rav Chista Kol Shi Ilamachlis Uzan Kesam Vedaleches Melef. You throw in a twig or something like that, and it would immediately ignite, and then it would light up on its own, then we would make a bracha. That would be the definition of something that is considered lochshos. However, if it's not, if it's lower than that, then it would be considered omamos, which you not make a bracha. Now the Gemara just wants to know, how do we spell the lashon of omamos with an ayin or an aleph? Like bailu, omamos, omamos, is omamos with an aleph or omamos, omamos with an ayin? So the Gemara says, tashma, damar avud chesna, ravar dimi, arazim lo omam vegan elokim. The pasuk says, cedars are not going to dim in the garden of Akash Baruch Hu, and this is spelled, omamu is not going to dim, lashon of dimming, with an ayin. So we see that it's spelled with an ayin. Ketiv Zomar, v'Rava Mar Yesu Mamash. So Rava disagrees. Rava holds that you have to have actual benefit from its illumination. You have to be that close. So the Gemara says, v'kama, how close is that? So the Gemara says, Umar Ula Kadesh Yakir ben Isser Lepundin. A person has to distinguish between an Isser coin and a Pundin toy. There's two coins in the time of the Mishnayos. Okay, so those two coins were similar in their what they look like. So since they were similar in what they looked like, they're both small and they both have the same color. So since to tell the difference, we actually need to be pretty close. That is the geder. And Cheskiyomer Kedesh Arkav and Meluzma Taviri of Meluzma. So Zippori, similar distinction between a Meluzma of Taviri and a Meluzma of Zippori. These are different types of weights that also look pretty similar to the definition of Isra and Pundin. It's important here. The Rishonim quote that this is where the minhag developed, that we put our hands with our fingernails, because the difference between our fingernails and our finger is very similar to the geder of what an Isra and Pundin looked like. That's why we put those two next to the candle, and that's where this minhag comes from this Gemara over here between Yakir ben Isra and Pundin. The Gemara continues now. Rav Yehuda bar Avarach ad debeir debeir adav adav dalia. Rav Yehuda would say the bracha as far as the house of adav dalia. Because that's how he was pretty far away. The Rav Yehuda was a shita that you don't have to actually have enough and the benefit from the light as long as he's close enough that the person near you is getting benefit. That's good enough. So that's the why the Gemara is bringing this whole thing. Rava Mabarach Adabe Guria Barchama. Rava would say that from the distance of Adabe Guria Barchama, that's how far he would make the bracha, which was much closer because Rava was the shita that says you need to make the bracha while you're close. And Abaye Mabarach Adavei Maravua. Abaye would make the bracha in the house of Maravua, which the Gemara doesn't tell you, or Rashi doesn't also tell you, who Abaye was following. So, okay, that's a big shayla who Abaye was following, but that's what Gemara is relating now. Continues the Gemara, Amar Avida Marav, Ein Machzir Nala Ur, Kederich Shemachzir Nala Mitzvos. We don't have to go crazy to try to find a candle on Motzei Shabbos like we do to go do a mitzvah. Because if you find it, you find it. It's a bracha na na. If you're not able to find it, you're not able to find it. Similar with the, okay, not similar. I don't remember that. Amar Abzira, Mirei Shavim Maradina. Initially, I would go after a flame to look for it, and then came in the Shemini Lahadra of Yehuda Marav, Ana Namila Marjuna, Ela Imikla Lamila Mivarchina. I would only do it if I found it, meaning he was saying I originally would look around and like a mitzvah and look every second I could. However, since once I heard this halacha that it's not in Mamash Echiyav, I would be making it myself. Okay, and the next Hamshech of the Mishnah, if someone ate and forgot, Misha Achal, and then he forgot, so Bishila said, you don't have to go back, Bishama said, you do have to go back. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zidvei Timur, Rav Zidvei Bar Abba, Machlokas B'Shachach, this Machlokas between Bishama and Bishila is where one forgot to say Berkos HaMazon where he was. However, even Bishila would emote that in a situation where you purposely left, you knew you were eating here, and you didn't bench it, and you just ran in the car because you have to go somewhere, if you knew that originally before you actually left the room, then you would have to go back, that we'd be okay, that you have to go back, even according to Beis Hillel. However, so the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious halacha. Why did Rizuvin even tell us this? It's Pashut halacha. So the Gemara says, Veshachach knan, the Mishnah tells us that that's the case we're discussing, in a case where you forgot. So the Gemara says, no, I could have said the Shachach was a diuk for Beis Shammai. What was the diuk for Beis Shammai? I'm out of the team. I would have thought the halacha is the same. Even if B'mezid, Beis Shammai would say it's okay, B'dievet, to say where you are right now, even if intentionally you decided to leave that first place. The whole reason that it says Veshachach is to teach you how Beis Shammai is, how far Beis Shammai take it. Even if you got according to Beis Shammai, you would have to go back. That's Rav Zvid has to tell this halacha because he's telling you that that's not the case. That really the halacha is for Beis Hillel. That Beis Hillel would agree that if it's a case of Mezid, you would have to go back. Okay, the Gemara now says a story about this halacha. Tanya, Amar Lem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, according to you, if someone left food on the top of a bira, on top of a big house, and then he went down and into a bracha on benching, so he's really far away now, it's like 10 flight house or a 40 story apartment building, make him walk back up the 40 flights. So Marlan Beis Shammai said back to Beis Hillel, that's not a good reasoning. Says if someone forgot their wallet on the top of this 30 flight apartment building, they wouldn't go up the 30 flights to go make sure that they got their $100,000 that they had in their wallet. Obviously they would. So if for kavod atzmo, if for their kavod of their own honor they do it, then kavod shemaim, then kol shekein, they should do it. So continues the Gemara now. Hanu trei talmidei, relates the story now. There's two talmidim, chad aved b'shogeg Beis Shammai. What one of them did it accidentally, and he followed Beis Shammai to go back to where he was. And he found a full wallet full of golden coins. It was amazing. He was zocha to this. B'chad aved b'mezid k'di Beis Hillel. One did intentionally left his place and he violated Beis Hillel. He thought he was following Beis Hillel, but he wasn't because he did it intentionally. And v'achlar, he was punished and lion ate him and he died. Okay, they are all the Achronim. Rabbi Kiv Eger has in the Mishnayos asked the Kasha, why over by Rabbi Tarfon in the very first parak we said that it was bad for him to follow Beis Shammai. Over here, we're praising the guy. He got gold coins, he got rewarded. Okay, I know Rabbi Kiv Eger says because here was a kol of chumra as opposed to the fundamental disagree fundamentally in understanding the Kriyat Shema. Where it's just a chumra, it's not necessarily the worst thing to follow Shitas Beis Shammai. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Bar Chana b'Avik Azu b'Shar Yasser. Rabbi Chana was going in a caravan. He forgot to bench. Amar, what am I going to do? If I tell them, by the way, guys, I forgot to mention, can we go back, travel a half hour back to where we were? They're going to say to me, Amar, they're going to say the classic, wherever you bless, you're so holy, wherever you make the bracha benching, wherever you do it, it'll be fine. So I'm better going to tell them I have a golden dove over there, and then they're going to understand. They'll understand, oh, well, money is very important, he has to do this. So Amar, therefore, he said to him, he told him this, I forgot my golden dove over there. He went back over there and he said benching, and Imamish found it. It was amazing. It was a miracle. He found a golden dove. He just made up the story, but he ended up finding this golden dove where he was. Okay, the Gemara says, Maisha Yonah, why did he say golden dove? Why didn't he say just gold or golden coins? So says the Gemara, the Mischele Knesset Israel Yonah, he was saying that Kal Yisrael is compared to a dove. The Chsev, Kanfe Yonah Nechba Kesef Rabbeseb Yarka Charutz. You're going to be like wings of a dove, like that have silver on them. And they're going to have also types of wings with gold on them. Okay, the Gemara says, "Ma Yona Ina Nitzelas El Bechanfea." Just like a dove is saved only through the wings. Af Yisrael Nitzelam Et Mitzvos. Our wings are what keeps us going. Is our mitzvos. So now the Gemara is going to continue. Until when can you bench? If you forgot to bench, Adimasai Yom Mivarech. So the Gemara says now over here, what is the shiur? Until you digest, what is the shiur digestion? So the Gemara, Kamar Shiur Ikel, what is the shiur of digestion? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kozman Shein Arayv. As long as someone's not hungry for wants to eat more, that's the shiur of digestion. As long as he's not thirsty from what he had eaten. So the Gemara now asks, Amar Leir of Yomar Lamar Shilam Rezutra, Amar Leir of Yomar Lamar Shilam Rezutra, Mi Amar Rish Lakish Hachi, did Rish Lakish really paskin like this, where that really says that as long as you're not thirsty, again, so don't we have Amar of Amar Rish Lakish, Kama Shir Ikel? Rish Lakish said, how long is the period of digestion? Kedil Alach Abimilin, which is a specific shear of 72 minutes. Let's assume a meal is 18 minutes for now. There's different shitas with this, whether it's a 90 minutes would be or 96. Okay, let's go with the easy shear of 72. So for 72 minutes, you would have to go back, and if not that, so Gemara says, "Lokasha kan b'achila meruba, kan b'achila muetis." Big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over here. Which one is which? Is it achila meruba? You have longer shear, or achila muetis? You have the longer time. But either way, what comes out of here is that if you're not hungry anymore, people really don't realize this. If you're not hungry, if someone's not hungry, you are allowed to bench even 2 hours later, not 72 minutes. 72 minutes is a simon. Just shows you probably this is when you're not hungry. If you had a massive meal, you're not hungry even 2 hours later, you would be allowed to continue benching. So now the Gemara says, "Bala miachon razon," and now we're answering that you don't answer for kuti, rather you answer for Yisrael. So says the Gemara now. When it comes to Yisrael, we said only a kuti, you don't make a bracha, if you hear half a bracha, you don't answer him until you hear the whole bracha. But Yisrael, the Gemara was assuming that you would answer, and the Gemara was also assuming you're yotze, v'chilo shama hachanafik. How is that possible though? If I only heard half his bracha, how come I yotze with his bracha? So the Gemara says, no, we're not discussing when you're being yotze with his bracha, so let's say Boris Yipper Vergafin and drink some wine. Rather, we're dealing with the case in the Mishnah where you didn't eat with them. Just stop to say amen. Amen is a very chashuv thing. You don't just say amen stam. It's like a amen levatala is a very bad thing. So we only say amen in a situation where we know the person was saying l'shem shemayim. So Yisrael, we know he's saying l'shem shemayim. We can answer amen. For kuti, you'd have to heal the whole bracha. Amen l'rav chila rav bari chatuf barich. My son would be quick to take a cup of wine, and he would say the bracha. Okay, so the Gemara says, "V'chein Ravuna, but the Rabba Bray, Ravuna would tell his son also, Chatov Ibarach, be quick, and you should say the bracha first. You should be the one to say the bracha." So the Gemara is now in Bibidayik. The fact that Rav and Ravuna would tell this to their children, there was implying that it's better to say a bracha than to say amen to the bracha. So the Gemara is going to make a deal: which is more chashuv, to say amen to a bracha or to say the bracha itself? So the Gemara says, "Lameimah de Ibarach Adif Imand Ani Amen." Is it possible to assume that someone who says the bracha is better than the one who's responding amen? Is that really true? Rabbi Yossi says that someone who says amen is greater than one who actually says the bracha. How are we going to answer this? Shemayim came to you. Really? You're making a lashon that's a lashon shvuah. You're right. We know this when it comes to war. We have the common soldiers, they go fight, and the chashuva soldiers, they're the ones who get all the credit because they go in after everyone started fighting and they seal the deal, they finish the victory. So too, the one who says amen is more chashuv. So this price says it's better to have someone say amen, not to say the bracha. It's more chashuv to say amen. So the Gemara says, Natanai, it's machlokes tanaim, desanya, echad amivarech, ve'echad aone amen b'mashma. That both the one who say amen and the one who are making the bracha are getting the bracha. This price assumes that it's better for the person to say the bracha than to say amen. So therefore, these two amoraim we're holding like the second bracha, right? Rav Chia to his son and Rav Huna to his son, we're following the second price over here that it's better to say the Gemara. Now the Gemara asks over here, Rav Shmuel, Rav, Mala Anos Amin Achatinokas Beis Rabban. Do you say a bracha when kids are learning how to say a bracha? Do you say a bracha that's very no gift for everyone of those children? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Achar Kol Ona Amin And you would answer amen to everyone except for children who are just learning because they're not actually having a money to make a bracha, they're just learning the nusach ha-bracha. The only reason is because they're coming to learn the bracha. They're only trying to learn the nusach, not actually say the bracha. The Gemara says, this is only when they're not actually making a real bracha. If they're saying the brachas of Torah, a katan is allowed to say brachas of Torah. So if he was making the brachas of Torah in the shul, then obviously he's making Lashem Shemayim, he's not just learning, then you would in fact say amen to after his bracha. The Gemara continues now, Tanur Rabbanan, Shemen Ma'akev is a bracha. Oil is going to ma'akev the person from saying brachas amazim because his hands smell. This is someone who generally would wash his hands with oil, and if he's makbid on this, and he doesn't have oil, that's ma'akev to him to say the benching, because his hands are very smelly. Divrei Rabbi Zilai, that's Rabbi Zilai says. Rabbi Zivai, Omer Rabbi Zivai says, ain't a ma'akev. No, it doesn't. You're allowed to say a bracha b'di'evet. Rav Acha says, shemen tov ma'akev. Only good oil that would make his hands really not smell, that would be bad, and that's meaning you have to mamash, get your hands to not smell at all. Rabbi Zumai says, k'shem shemuzam pasal avoda, just as one who has bad smell on his hands, or bad smell on his body, is pasal to do the b'makrev of the korbanos, So too, someone who has a bad smell on his hands also would not be allowed to bench. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ana Lo Zilai, Velo Zivai, Velo Zumai, Velo Yadan. I don't know any of these people's Amoraim. I know Mishnah. I know Masnisa Yadan. I know Breisa. Amar Avudamar Rav, Amar Le Masnisa Tana Vizkadashim. The pasuk of Bedrasha, it says Vizkadashim was referring to the Mayim Rishonim, that you have to do the Mayim Rishonim to wash the Tzadayim before you eat. Vayisim Gedoshim, to be holy, what's referring to Mayim Achronim, to do Mayim Achronim after, to wash off the Melech Stomis. We're going to see later. Kikadosh, what is that? Why is it Kikadosh? That's referring to Zeshemen, that's referring to oil, and therefore on Yashem Lokechem Zubracha, that's saying a bracha, so you do shemen, but it's based on the Mishnah, not based on the Braisa. We're going to start a Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. Sorry, it's a little bit longer, just these Dapim are mamish very long, so we have to get through them as much as possible. Shkoyach.